English Across the Pond.
Hello, hello, and welcome to English Across the Pond, an English language podcast coming to you every Friday. There are two people on this podcast, and I am one of them. Hello, my name is Dan. I'm from England.
Hello, and I'm Jennifer. I'm from the US.
Apart from the weekly podcast that you're listening to, as well as this podcast, you can also become a member. Join us, and every week we will send you an email straight to your inbox with a study plan. It's a PDF, it's a big file that goes straight into your inbox. And all of the activities, the exercises in the study plan are based around this podcast. Listening activities, all of the key vocabulary, the important words are there with definitions. There's a transcript so you can see every word that we say. And I'll just tell you a little bit of detail. There's a writing exercise, a writing activity. And what this is, we set a question. So this week, we're talking about fear. So it will be a question based around fear and being afraid. You write the answer and send it to us, and we record an answer to you. We record it on kind of like YouTube and send you a video answer. So you get us talking directly about your writing. So if writing is important for you in your job or you're going to take an exam, you can get direct help from us. We go through it, look at your mistakes, make suggestions, how you could improve and make your writing even better. We do it personally just for you. It's usually me who does it, and I walk through and talk through and send you a video back. Amazing! There's lots more in the study plan. englishacrossthepond.com/gold. G-O-L-D, gold. englishacrossthepond.com/gold. People are signing up every week. We are getting pretty busy. Come and join us. Be part of our membership. Jennifer, fear.
Ah!
is that your afraid noise?
That was my afraid noise.
Do you fear. Think, are you, I don't think you're very fearful. Some people like live a life being afraid. That's not you, is it?
Generally speaking, no. But I have a little fear here, sprinkled in my life here and there.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we've said before, if you're not afraid from time to time, you're not living life properly. That, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to kind of split this up. And later, yeah. I want to talk about kind of the fear of English or the fear of going on stage. You know, that kind of fear. But we also have like fear of flying. You know, do you know what I mean? There's a difference. There's a psychological fear and then kind of a more practical fear. Does that yeah. make sense? So first of all, right, I'm going to say some things like, are you afraid of flying? And I'd like you to say like, you know, yes or no, or give me a number between 1 and 10 or something like that. You ready?
Yes, let's do it.
So are you afraid of ghosts?
No, but like a 3.
A little bit.
I don't feel like it would be me if there wasn't a story attached.
Yeah, sure. We're all sitting comfortably.
So I would say no, I don't really have a fear. I don't really think about them too much. But there was this one time I went to my dad's house. He was living in this rental house when he first moved out to Texas. And there was my stepmom and my stepsister claimed that they saw ghosts.
Whoa.
Like living in the house.
Yeah.
That she saw, that like both my stepsister and my stepmom saw a figure of a woman at the top of the stairs.
Whoa.
Then they had also said that there was, you know, like a bunch of pots fell in the middle of the night and like things like that. Hmm. So they were telling me all of this. And the first night we stayed there, my husband just fell asleep. He was out.
Oh.
And I just lie awake, terrified to go to sleep. And so that fear was a solid 8.5, 9.
Ah,
typically I am not. So that's why I kind of met somewhere instead of three. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Good. I think it would be strange if you woke up every day and thought, oh my God, ghosts. You know what I mean? It's not something you live with day to day.
I don't know. Me personally, no.
No, me neither. Heights. Okay. Are you afraid of being up the top of a tall building?
Scale of 1 to 10, a 35. Yes.
So that's a maybe. What?
Strong.
Vertigo.
Hard. Yes. Not like, well, vertigo. Yeah, I guess like I get the weirdest sensation in my feet.
Oh.
When I'm really high or like on a high balcony. And it's really anything that there's a fear of going over. Because like I can be inside of a plane and be looking down at like the ground or like the clouds. And there's no fear there.
Okay.
It's heights in somewhere where there's like a feeling that I could fall over a railing or something
yeah, yeah,
like
I
that.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
And the feeling of my feet is like this weird tingling sensation of like, stay on the ground, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, in my hometown, there's a castle. There's a castle in most towns in England. But you can climb up the top of the tower. And as you get to the top, actually the kind of walls around the top are kind of like up to your chest. You know, you're quite well protected. But when I was a kid, when we used to go there as kids, this is like, I don't know, 30 meters or something. Friends of mine used to climb up onto the top. Oh, my. Yeah. My hands, just Whoa. Talking about it, are going like sweaty now, even thinking.
Yes.
And they used to walk around the top. Oh,
nothing. Oh, no.
I know. Nothing happened. But I just felt, honestly, so sick just being near.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, next one.
Can I slide in and ask a sub question?
Yeah.
Do you think fears, and sorry if you're going to get to this later, but do you think fear is genetic, hereditary? Do you think you can pass down fear?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think, I don't know the answer, but we definitely pass them on. I think, you know, if there's a certain creature in the bath, you know, a certain insect in the bath, and as a parent we react, I think we can easily pass it on. But whether that fear is there from you know, DNA, I don't know. What do you think?
I'm starting to think that there is kind of a level of that, because my son shows signs of being scared of heights. And I don't I don't feel that we've ever been in a situation that he's like seen the fear in me.
Mm.
You know, I trying to really think about it. There was never a time that it was like, oh, Paulo, like take him. I'm terrified. You know, there was no situation.
Yeah.
But if we go along the beach, the beaches here, there are like stairs that will go down a cliff to the sand. Mm-hmm. And usually those stairs are like wooden and you can see through them when you're going down or up, you know?
Yeah.
He will not go up and down those stairs. It has a very hard time like climbing on the top of play structures by himself.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, oh, and he like gets really nervous, like bends his knees and kind of tries to get slow to the ground. And he says, fall down, fall down.
But
you know, and yeah.
Maybe he's picking up a vibe that you're not even aware you're giving off.
Maybe. You know, so that's kind of why I was asking about like hereditary.
And I don't know is the answer. What about being afraid of big dogs? Oh, you're okay.
No, I don't think I'm okay with it. I don't really think the size. Maybe the breed. And I hate to stereotype dogs. That there are so many dogs that are really sweet. And I know there are some like really good natured, like labs, golden retrievers are generally like sweet, caring, good family dogs. There are some vicious labs and golden retrievers, but pit bulls.
Yeah.
You know, like pit bulls, mastiffs, like there's a level of distrust I have for them just knowing that they're an animal.
Yeah.
You know, and that they could, if they get scared, like their instinct is to react.
Yeah.
And so kind of that uneasiness makes me a little scared. So it's not necessarily the size, the breed, but it's not necessarily a fear. It's just being a little wary.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. Cautious.
Yes.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Mm-mm.
What number? Yep. Number one?
Well, one.
Or number zero?
A zero.
And are you afraid of getting old?
No.
Hmm.
No, not really. And a friends of mine, right before they all turned 30, I'm a little younger than my group of friends because of my birthday and the age cutoff of entering school and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the younger scale of things. So when a bunch of my friends were like turning 30, I remember having a conversation with a bunch of them, and they were going through a hard time.
Oh.
You know, like, oh, we're just getting so old. And they like asked me about it. And I was like, I can genuinely say, like, it's not that big of a deal to me. I don't feel like, oh my gosh, 30. Yeah. This was a few years ago, but.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't believe me. They were just like, oh, you're, you know, oh yeah, right. Everybody feels this way. And I was like, I guess I genuinely don't. No.
And I mean, age is just a number, is a trite cliche, but it kind of mm-hmm. is really, I mean, that's how I feel about it. Sort of, I couldn't care less, you know, it doesn't really make any difference to me. Sort of, once people get to adults, I'd treat everyone with a similar respect based on the respect I feel they deserve. It doesn't really make any difference about like, well, they are old, so you must respect them. I mean, not if they're acting disrespectfully to me, you know. So, yeah,
totally.
It's all on the person. I don't think age is much to do with it. So if you're listening and you are, you know, worried about being 40 or 50 or 20.
Or 70.
70. Write to us. Chat to us to how it feels. We'll write back. We always write back. We do. And moving on into sort of like this, so we've done sort of like the basic kind of classic fears. Are there any others you can think of?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a fear, because I think that if there's a fear of something, I think there's some level of like debilitating. What's the word I'm looking for? I just skipped my mind too. Like debilitating.
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 Yeah, we got that.
See, guys, even English teachers have what we call brain farts, or like a word leaves our minds.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like if there's fear, there's this level of like debilitation, right?
Yeah.
What I mentioned before, heights.
Mm.
That will cause me to change plans.
Oh,
like, wow. I will not do something.
Mm.
Like, I will not, like, climb a really scary bridge and do something that I'm, like, worried about because of heights and I fear safety, you know, a fear, like, to see a really beautiful view of something, even if it's, like, a tourist spot,
ooh,
you know? Like, so there are things, like, I wouldn't do for that.
Yeah, got you. And I...
Eight-legged beasts.
Yeah, I see. I didn't even mention...
I know. You said the insect in the tub. I appreciate that.
I was
that.
Good, wasn't I? Yeah.
You were so good.
If you're listening and you're not sure what we're talking about, go back through every single one of our podcasts and you can find out Jennifer has a huge...
Wait, let me cover my ears. Okay, go.
...phobia of spiders. And we talked about it at length in previous episodes.
Okay, I uncovered my ears. Did you say it? Okay.
Whew. I've said it, yeah. Moving on away from kind of like the classic, you know, fears, like we touched on flying is one, and the dark, and et cetera, et cetera. But thinking about now being a teacher and, you know, working with your students, there's an awful lot of fear amongst our students, among people listening to us now about, you know, this language is, of course, English, but, you know, speaking in another language or presenting some writing in another language. So talk to us about that a little bit. Why do you think there's so many hang-ups for students about doing something in the foreign language, in English?
Well, it's uncomfortable. So I think nervousness, discomfort, and anxiousness is different than fear.
Mm.
But I think we like lump it together.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to sound stupid. I'm afraid to speak this language that I don't know. But it, like, this is what I mentioned before about something being debilitating. It's not, I don't think it's a fear. I think it's just discomfort or anxiety and these kinds of things. You're anxious to make a mistake, or you're anxious to speak. Because no one wants to be wrong. No one wants to make a mistake. You know, we want to be our best selves. And I think if we feel like we make a mistake or we say something incorrect, like, we're not our best.
I agree. Snowball effect, as in, you may have this analogy in your country too, dear listener, but the snowball, as it goes down a hill, it gets bigger and bigger. Do you think that what could initially, let's say a student out there listening, you know, when they were younger, they nearly stood up and said the answer, but they said no that day. And so you find some comfort in hiding away, but then the idea of doing it gets bigger and it snowballs. Do you think that's possible, that that happens? And it becomes almost like a really, really big thing, but it's only become a big, it's just sort of grown over time. Do you think that's a thing?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a thing. I definitely think that's a thing. Because then it's like we kind of build it up in our head. We like build that narrative in our head of like, this is bad. This is scary. This causes fear. I'm not going to do it. And then you don't do it. And you're like, yes, I didn't do it. And I didn't have fear. I didn't feel bad. See, it's legit, you know?
Yeah, I read a quote, and it said, I'm going to ask you it. That's a question.
You read a quote? No.
No, I know. Yeah, I did something different. But it's, and the quote says, what is on the other side of fear? And can you guess what it said? What's on the other side of fear?
Fear itself.
No. It said, on the other side of fear is nothing. There's nothing there.
Oh, that is so good.
It's clever, isn't it?
Much better than mine, yeah.
But it's just sort of like, there's actually really... So the only thing is... I mean, there's that famous saying, the only thing that we fear is the fear. That's the problem, is the fear. Yes. There's actually really nothing there. I tell you an analogy I like, and I say this to my students. It's like a really icy, cold swimming pool that you've got to jump in. And you can walk around it as many times as you like, and you can get near and look at it. And you know, sooner or later, you have to jump in. So you might as well just jump in. And I think it's so easy to say, but, you know, it's the same with this kind of English. And maybe the problem is, of course, it's not just English. It's also performing, isn't it? You know, stand up,
public
please.
Public speaking.
Stand up and read your sentence. And you think, please, no.
Don't call on me.
I'll do anything. And as you're saying, don't call me, don't call me, don't call me. What does the teacher say?
Dan!
And then they say, Dan, number 7, please. And you think, I knew number 6 and I know number 8. And I, please, this is the only one that I don't know.
Yeah.
So what I often do in my classroom is I say to the class, you can do number 1 if you want, number 5 if you want, number 6. I don't care, just do one. And at the end, I will do the last one.
Nice.
Little bit of... bartering, a little bit of haggling going on there, negotiation.
But I think it also helps show that, like, you're also willing to do what's scary, or to show that it's not scarier. Obviously you're the teacher, but still.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Exactly. Walk the walk, talk the talk.
Yeah. I was discussing that today with someone. Also, do you say all mouth and no trousers?
No, we don't say trousers.
All mouth and no pants.
All mouth and no pants. We say all bark and no bite.
All right, yeah, we have that as well.
Or they talk the talk, they don't walk the walk.
Yeah, we have that too. So we've kind of said it a little bit anyway, but like, what would you say to a student who's out there thinking, I'm afraid? And, you know, it's really frustrating, I think, because it's like, when you're in that position, I've been there, you know, I know exactly how they feel. It's almost like you want to walk forward, but you're somehow holding yourself back at the, you know what I mean? It's almost like you're pulling yourself back while you're trying. It's so frustrating, and you can get really disappointed with yourself and really angry with yourself. And it doesn't help. I mean, you know, being shy and a fear of making a mistake. Any advice?
You have to just bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And take one small step forward. So if you are just scared of speaking English with another person, right? then don't just go out on the street and talk to a stranger. That's just, that's going all in.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
If you can muster up the courage to do that, then go. But, you know, if you're uncomfortable, rather than doing nothing, start small.
Yeah.
Recording yourself speaking and you're the only one listening. Saying something aloud in the mirror. Writing something down and then just reading it out loud. So just trying to do little things that are going to build up to speaking to somebody in English. Small baby steps, guys. Baby steps.
Beautiful advice. And if I can kind of add to it as well, I was reading about people think, let's say someone wants to start a business, you know, they want to start their own business and they think, yeah, but if I do it and if I don't do that and then that and then I fail and if I've and it's like, whoa, you haven't even started, you haven't even done anything yet. And it's that sort of thing where I think we can get confused or we can get afraid of the big goals right at the very end. It's like, but what if the business is really successful and then it isn't successful? What will I do? It's like, whoa.
You never know until you try, right?
So you have to. What I would say that in that way, it's kind of like looking, imagining a house is already built and you haven't even designed the house yet. So the thing to do to begin with is take a baby step.
Baby step, friend.
Baby steps.
And of course, we always want to know from you, our listeners, what is your greatest fear? And why do you think you have that fear? Or where did it come from? Or do you want to get over it? Tell us anything about your fears. We want to know.
How are you battling? How are you overcoming your fear? Be that English or flying or whatever. Like I say, if you email us, we will write a reply for you. And as we said before, more and more people are joining us. Do become a member. Then you get personalized, you know, one-to-one feedback from us. Stay tuned. Coming up is the language focus. We're talking about the words fear, to be afraid, to be scared, frightened. The differences between all of these words. It's going to be a good one.
Awesome. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye, guys. See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Question.
Hey, hey, welcome to the Language Focus, and as promised, we are investigating the differences between to be afraid, to be scared, and to be frightened. And the good news is that these three adjectives, afraid, scared, and frightened, can be used interchangeably. Pretty much the meaning is the same. So lots of people are afraid of heights, scared of heights, and frightened of heights. They are the same. There's no need to be scared. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need to be frightened. He's a friendly dog. So there's no need to be scared, afraid, frightened. And she's afraid, scared, frightened of flying. So three examples there. The only slight difference is with frightened. We normally use frightened for something that's sort of now, not for general fears. So with the second example, there's no need to be scared. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need to be frightened. He's a friendly dog. Because that's a sentence sort of in the present, frightened is fine. But we wouldn't generally say lots of people are frightened of heights or I'm frightened of flying, because that's not now, it's a general thing. So the slight difference in meaning between the three is that frightened is not used for general meanings. It's only used when we're actually saying like, oh, I feel frightened, sort of in the moment, in the now. However, this wouldn't be English if there weren't some differences and something that we need to look at a little bit more closely. And that's how we use these three words, because we can't use them all the same, even though they have the same meaning. I mean, sometimes we can. We've seen afraid of, scared of, frightened of. That works okay. But there are times when it doesn't work. For example, we can say frightened by, we can say scared by, but we cannot say afraid by. So, she was frightened by the loud explosion. they were scared by the loud explosion, but we don't say they were afraid by the loud explosion. So one difference is we don't use by with afraid. A second difference, afraid is not normally used before a noun, it goes after the verb. So, she is afraid. The verb, of course, is, and it goes after the verb. She feels afraid. She was afraid. She looked afraid. All of these are after the verbs. But we don't say she is an afraid student. But we can say she's a frightened student. Or she's a scared student. Both of these are okay. With scared and with frightened, they can go before attributive or after predicative, before the noun or after the verb. It's only afraid which usually goes after the verb. She looked afraid, not before the noun. She is an afraid doctor, for example. Frightened and frightening, this works in the normal way, and with the ed ending, like many adjectives, bored and frustrated, interested, if you end with ed, you're talking about yourself. So I felt frightened. If it's ing, it's the external, it's the thing out there that is frightening you. I was frightened because the film was frightening. It frightened me. So the ed is for your feeling and the ing is for the external that makes you feel that way. For example, I was bored because the movie was boring. It was boring, so I felt bored. You can point with your finger to help you to remember. But we don't say, well, we do say, I was scared, but we don't say, of course, because the movie was scaring. We use the adjective scary. So there's a difference there as well. It's with scared and scary. So just another example. I was very scared when I was on the plane because there was turbulence and it was very scary. So frightened, frightening, scared and scary. It will help if you take some notes, listen again and take some notes. And there's much more in the study plan. This will all be written out in the study plan. There'll be some exercises. There's also some extra information for members about fear, frightened and afraid, to be afraid. So lots more if you remember. Thank you very much. See you next week. Bye.